Well, this is Torin Talks and So Can Drew.
Torin's drunk.
No, she's not. Torin wishes she was drunk.
She's so drunk, she's talking in the third person.
Well, actually, I kind of do that a lot.
Torin does this all the time.
No, I do, though. Like, I do it when it's something that I just wouldn't do. Like, when someone has me, like, fucked up, basically.
Oh.
It's just kind of like, yeah, she's not doing that. So if I use the third person, then you know, like, that's whatever I'm talking about is just, you know, it's not happening.
That,
like,
means, yeah. Torin means business.
Yeah, pretty much. I had, actually recently, one of my cousins, no, actually it wasn't a cousin, it was a friend of mine, had commented on one of my pictures, because I put up, like, a throwback picture of me and my friend when we went to New York.
Uh-huh.
And she was all like, oh, you guys look the same, except you got fat. And I was just like, oh, you tried it? And so I was just kind of like, yeah, she didn't get fat. I'm sorry. Yeah. So, yeah, if it's something that's just not me, then, yeah, you're getting hit with the third
person. It's kind of fucked up. Like, why would you say that to somebody, especially your family?
Oh, no, it wasn't my family. It was, like, it was actually, yeah, I blamed it on my family. But it wasn't. Yeah. It was a friend. But she's basically, like, family.
Okay.
Yeah, you've ran into her before.
Oh, okay.
So, on a comment.
Yes.
So, yeah, it was her. So, it's like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. She's always talking shit. So.
Yep. Yeah, one of the things I wanted to talk about is that what our generation is going to be like when we're the old fucks and everything. Because I think that's going to be interesting. You know, we're basically going to have a lot of retired people, a lot of retired mm-hmm. nerd people playing video games and cussing out 10-year-olds online. Like, there's going to be way more old people than there is now on there. And that's going to be kind of funny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's going to be hilarious.
Like, just playing, like, just imagine some, like, 80-year-old dude playing COD and just, like, you know, letting her rip. Just be like, you fucking pussy-ass bitch, sonny. You know, that's going to be awesome.
But can you imagine, like, okay, like, say you're in your 20s and you're pretty good at, you know, COD. When you're 80, you're going to be beast mode. Like, you're going to be making kids, like, you know, like, these kids are going to be so sad. They're going to be getting, like, whooped by grandpa, like, all day, every day. It wasn't, like, back in the day, like, when I would play video games with, like, my uncles. They grew up with, like, Atari and Pac-Man, you know? And that was just starting to come out when they were, like, you know, in their 20s. So, once, it was, like, this was, like, the early 90s. And, you know, we're playing Mortal Kombat, and it's, like, dude. The last game you played had, like, a ball rolling around. Like, you're not fucking with this, you know?
Yeah.
So, but since we're kind of growing older with the technology, by the time, like, whatever COD, I don't know, Modern Warfare 38 or whatever the fuck comes out, it's just going to be beast mode. Like, these kids are going to be getting brutalized, like, left and right by, like, senior citizens. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially since if they're retired, that's all they're going to do. I feel like it's probably going to be easier for our generation to retire than the old ones because we have all this technology to, like, fill the time with something.
No, it's not, because we're going to have to work our asses off. So we're still going to be had a job. He's like, kid, I don't have time to mess with you. I got to go to work. So
I guess it depends what line of work.
Well, I don't know. I just feel like even now people are retiring later, you know, like by, like, my grandparents. Great-grandparents, actually. They were retired by the time my grandmother was, like, in her 60s, you know, whatever. There's people still working in their 60s now. Like, you can't retire then. People are going to be retiring later. So, like, yeah, by the time you hit your 80s, you're just going to be hitting, you know, retirement age.
Yeah.
If they haven't come up with some, you know, thing to make you younger, not age, or it's like that Justin Timberlake movie where you gotta pay for some time bullshit. I don't know.
Oh yeah, I remember that. I bet, like, none of us would have, like, thought of that. Like, if you asked, like, I was pretty young, but if you asked me, like, hey, that one dude from NSYNC is gonna be a movie star in, like, 10 years, I'd be like, fuck out of here. Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, it's just like, this curly-headed asshole's not gonna do anything. And it's funny, like, nobody, it's almost like people forget that he was in a boy band. He's not stigmatized by it like the other people.
What the fuck are the other NSYNC guys doing? I haven't heard much about them at all.
Well, one of them used to be on one of those, like, judges on some reality show, but I don't know what the hell he's doing now. and I don't know why I know this, but anyway. No, let me just say that I was not, like, a hardcore NSYNC person. Like, I'll keep up with their lives. It just so happened that I hear these things.
Yeah.
But back in those days when I was, like, 14 and all those guys, like, came out of the woodworks, like, I, like, my people were Backstreet and Christina. I'm just saying.
Oh, that. Yeah. Backstreet anywho. Boys were awesome.
So, anywho, NSYNC was all right. Yeah. You know. I felt like NSYNC had the better, like, branding. But if we're talking about, like, vocals, Backstreet Boys had the better vocals. But, that's just me. NSYNC
is kind of like an older version of One Direction, pretty much. It's way more of like a teen girl type of thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
I remember there were plenty of adults that loved Backstreet Boys when they were pretty popular, and I was pretty young, so.
Yeah.
I feel like the Backstreet Boys, like, covered Generations a little bit better than NSYNC did.
Yeah, because, I mean, I could still listen to a Backstreet Boys song, some of them, and it still be like, all right. But NSYNC is be like, unless it's like 90s night at Haley's or something, then it's like, what? Yeah. The other one, well, the one, you know, one came out, and so he's doing some stuff. I see him sporadically on TV or whatever. And then one's the host of Family Feud. Not the host, like the asshole that announces the host. Like now, Steve Harvey, like that dude, he's that guy.
I was about to say, I was like, I doubt Steve Harvey is part of NSYNC. That'd be mind blowing.
Oh, I'm photoshopping that picture now. Like, I'm gonna photoshop like one of the one that no one can find. There's one guy that was in the group, and no one knows what he's doing.
Oh, shit,
I don't know. He's probably like managing a freaking McDonald's somewhere. I have no clue.
Probably,
but yeah, but that dude. I'll Photoshop Steve Harvey head on and put it on the website.
Whatever happened to fucking Aaron Carter?
That's how be Shaq Aaron Carter?
No, one of the Backstreet Boys' brother.
Yeah, that was his song. You don't remember that song?
Like, no, I don't remember that song.
Gosh, and the only reason I remember it because it was the worst song I had ever heard. And it was super popular. It's like, are these kids brain dead? Like, I don't get it.
He's basically the 90s, well, technically late 90s, early 2000s Justin Bieber. Because I remember everybody hated him.
He was like the Justin Bieber before Justin Bieber.
I remember people talk so much shit about him, but he got a little bit easier because the internet wasn't as big of a thing then.
Yeah, I think he got like had a drug problem or something and then got clean and now I don't know what he's doing now.
Shit.
Yeah, you know, like, all those kids have drug problems, so...
You know,
like, it just reminds me of that episode of South Park, like, with, when they're playing Rock Band, and, one of them becomes, like, a crackhead or something, and, like, basically they get really popular, they have all this fame and stuff, and then it just all goes downhill, and then they're playing, like, some shitty bar, and they can't even hit like 900 points anymore. And then they got to get it's basically like that tragic rock star storyline. And like they're popular, then they lose all their fame, and then they have to have a comeback tour.
Yeah.
It was basically like that. So I feel like all those people are like living that cycle. I mean, like, I saw Lindsay Lohan in a insurance commercial for a Super Bowl. It was like, damn.
That's kind of random.
But I mean, if I was like Lindsay Lohan and that was the gig I had to get, like all the drugs you thought I did before would pale in comparison to the bender that I would have to go on after this realization that this is what my career has come to. I would be so bummed. I would be so bummed out. Like, I would be like, ah, oh, no, I can't take it. Like, it would just kill me.
Lindsay Lohan was definitely like kind of a big deal for a while, and then once she started looking like she didn't take showers, then she started to get scary, and everybody's like, "Fuck this!"
Yeah,
she's looking a little too Corey for my taste.
Yeah, Yeah, she. It's kind of like one of those things where, I don't know why, though. They always do that. It's like, they'll first start on their little party ways, and they'll still be cute.
Yeah.
And then they just go too far, and it's just like, damn. Like,
yeah.
Damn, you didn't look in the mirror and be like, oh, I'm looking rough. Shit, maybe I shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only one that I, but then too, I feel like for guys, it's just so much easier to recover. Not to recover, but like, Charlie Sheen's a crackhead 24/7, you know, and he still gets work all the time, and he's crazy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I mean, look at Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely depends, like, how much of a functioning addict you are.
But Robert Downey Jr., the one thing about him, though, it's always, he was always talented, and people couldn't understand, like, why he was doing all the stupid stuff, because, like, dude, you're kind of, like, a good actor, like, why are you know...
Well, you did know that, like, his dad, like, did drugs with him when he was, like, 10.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. That was kind of like, normal.
His life. It wasn't a big... Yeah, so it was kind of like... But, I mean, at first, like, before Iron Man or whatever, he was almost, like, unemployable in the industry because nobody wanted to take a chance on him because they're like, dude, you're like nothing but a big old crackhead, like I'm not gonna spend like, you know, millions of dollars on you and you're not even gonna show up for my movie, like fuck that. And it was actually Mel Gibson who like put up the money to like pay Robert Downey's insurance.
Wow, that's crazy,
because nobody would insure him because, you know, of all his drug issues.
Yeah,
and that's how he ended up getting like his comeback because of that.
Yeah.
But that's pretty cool. So, like, maybe she can do a Robert Downey Jr., but I seriously doubt it.
I mean, that's the thing, though, is, like, Robert Downey Jr. has talent. Like, he actually did amazing movies while an addict. Like,
there are still
some good Robert Downey Jr. movies even before he got clean, so.
Yeah, that's
true. Lindsay Lohan movies were kind of, like, they were kind of supposed to be shitty.
Yeah, like the last good movie she did was Mean Girls.
She was kind of more like eye candy for the most part in a lot of movies, especially in the later days. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could see she probably could have honed some talent. But I mean, anyway, like her market just got ate up by like anybody that would have been interested in her as a serious actress. Like, what's her name from The Hunger Games? She took all that.
Oh, Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah. Like, she's like the industry's wet dream right now. Like, everyone loves her.
I don't think she's that attractive, to be honest. I don't think she's horribly ugly. I just, 7.5 out of 10. Most people are giving her nines.
I think she's pretty. Just, you know, like, I mean, I know that this is probably about to be, like, some blasphemy. I know somebody's probably going to be like, what do you know? And I'm a girl, so, you know, maybe I'm off. But, I mean, she's pretty to me. Like, Jennifer Lawrence is pretty to me. Who I don't think is pretty. I mean, I think she's pretty. But I don't think she's as gorgeous as everybody thinks that she is.
Yeah.
And that's Emma Watson. Like, Emma Watson's really, she's pretty. But if I was to, I mean, I call her, like, fantastically gorgeous? No. Is she attractive? Yes. She's really pretty. Is. She's really pretty. I'm not going to say, like, she's ugly, because that would be a lie. She's really pretty, but is she, like, oh, my gosh, I mean, like, drop dead gorgeous?
I think it's kind of like a lot of women in Hugh Jackman. It's like, if he wasn't Australian, he might, you know, he might not get as much attention. Or Benedict Cumberbatch is a good example.
Oh, Benedict, what are you talking about?
Benedict is fugly. The only reason
I know
he gets that much attention is because he has an amazing voice. His voice is so great.
Benedict Cumberbatch could be as fugly as he want to be.
Oh, yeah.
I love him. I love me some Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah,
I don't care.
I'm definitely not hitting on him. He's one of the
best
actors,
like,
you know.
I do not care. He is so, like, I don't know what it is about him, but, like, Benedict Cumberbatch is a panty dropper. I'm just saying.
He's charming. He's fugly, but
hashtag
he's charming.
I'd take Benedict Cumberbatch over Hugh Jackman. But then again, I have a thing for, like, Eurotrash, so don't mind. But Benedict Cumberbatch, yeah, he definitely could get it. So, but he's married now, so.
Yep.
But, I mean...
What a shame.
I know.
Might have seen him walking around. You don't know.
I mean, yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't want to see Benedict Cumberbatch walking around because I wouldn't want to embarrass myself.
I'll suck your dick for a dollar.
No, no, I can't even attempt. I wish I had a British accent, but I don't. So I'm just going to keep my shitty California.
I don't know. You don't really have, like, I wouldn't say, like, your accent is like, oh, that's totally California.
I mean, I say some stuff like dude, you know, like I'm like dude, bro.
Bunch of guys like, say that here.
Or like that's a bummer. But that's because they're faking the funk. Like, I mean, you know, or like some stuff. But it's funny because when other people talk about California, it's like you can, first of all, if they say Cali, then you know they're not from California. That's usually like, 9 times out of 10, nobody from California calls it Cali.
Yeah, I've noticed people that actually live in California are more likely to, like, use a nickname for the place that they live than the actual state.
Yeah, like, no, everyone calls California California.
Yeah.
But, like, if it's like, you live in LA, you live in LB, you live in OC, you San live in Fran. IE. Yeah, San Fran, SD.
It's definitely way more the town or the city than the actual state.
Or a zip code. Like, you live in the 909, then it's like, So, yeah. Yeah. What's that dark, shadowy place over there? That's the Inland Empire. You must never go there. Like,
what's the fuck? That should be a California meme.
Yeah, it really should. The Inland Empire is just, like, I don't even know. Like, it's like the pilot point of California. It's just nothing but a bunch of hicks and bullshit, you know? Like, it's just bad. It's just bad.
Yeah.
That and the Valley. Valley, well, we already know the Valley's terrible.
Yeah.
So, but the IE is like, it gives the Valley a run for its money a little bit.
I'm going to be honest, I'm not sure exactly what you're talking about because I haven't been to those places in California, but they sound bad.
Basically, like, did you ever watch Breaking Bad?
Yeah, a little bit. I never finished it, but yeah.
Well, it's kind of like that, but it's just like a whole bunch of meth heads, basically.
Oh, wow.
You know, when you see those episodes of Cops and it's like all, you know, like where it's kind of like white trashy?
That's
it's kind of like that. It's kind of like that a lot.
Wow. I'm definitely not going over there. In fact, that.
Well, not everywhere. There's some places, but I mean, just in general, the Inland Empire is just not. Yeah. It's like the bunghole of SoCal, so you just don't want to do
it. One thing I also wanted to mention, gosh, I feel bad for, like, jumping around, but our generation is going to be some tatted-up old people.
That was going to be my next point, too. It's like, it's going to be cool to see, like, all the 80-year-olds, like, fully blasted and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're going to be like, oh, what do you got, kid? You don't have any tattoos? What the hell? Like, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be as taboo. I feel like, you know, now, like, corporate America, people really don't have tattoos. Or if they do, they wear, like, fully covered up.
Yeah.
I feel like by that time, so many people are going to have them. And they're going to be, like, this thing where they're not even,
you know.
Like, it's not a thing. So more, like, you're going to go into, like, boardrooms and see people, like, full blasted and stuff. Like, I would love that. That'd be awesome.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely going to be more acceptable as time goes on. Heck, that might even be, like, a weird, like, thing to tell people in the future. Like, oh, yeah, if you wanted to get a job, you had to make sure you covered it up or something like that. Like,
yeah, like, and the people would be like, what? Yeah,
well, you bunch of Puritans.
I know, like, oh, my gosh, you had to cover your tattoos.
You guys had no so fun. Weird.
Yeah. I wonder what else would be, like, a thing. For, I don't know, I feel like that our generation, when they're old, is going to be way more creative. Like I feel like, you know, after you get a certain age, like, creativity kind of just stops.
Yeah.
And but I don't feel like that's going to happen.
Yeah, I feel like I said, a lot of the people are going to use technology as an outlet for their retirement. You know, some you're going to see some like, oh, they can actually dedicate times to painting if they like to paint, or, you know, writing a book or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think there's definitely going to be a lot more old people, like you said, creativity and like art.
Yeah. Yeah, I just really wish that I could just live in the Star Trek universe when I'm old. Like, I just want that. Like, I just want it to where, like, I don't have to work some bullshit 9-to-5 job just to get money to do what I really want to do. Can I just do what I really want to do and just skip all that bullshit in the middle? Like, I would love that.
What makes me wonder is how they end up, like, getting all the bullshit work done. You know what I mean? Like, somebody has to...
Well, it's all automated.
I was about to say, like, I guess that's what they do, is just automate everything, that the jobs that people don't want to do.
Yeah, I feel like, too, if your whole society is basically kind of automated, then you can use people's brain power to more creative things. That's why, like, in that future, like, tech is kind of an industry, and more, like, creativity, exploration, you know, like, things like that, than more of, like, technical work, like, skilled labor, blah, 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 because I feel like by that time they have machines and, you know, technology to do all that stuff. So people can actually, like, open their mind up to, like, different, you know, possibilities and different worlds. So I think that's why they're able to have warp speed and all that stuff, because, like, people's brains aren't, like, you know, it's not some asshole that has to work some 9-to-5 job and is not really pursuing his dream to be, like, in aerospace or something because he can't afford it or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, that's... Don't die on me, Drew. So,
I'm sorry.
That'd be funny. It's like, wait, Drew. Just keep recording.
Don't end the show.
don't stop the show. I'm choking to death. Be good TV.
I can keep going.
Yeah, so I think that would be cool. But what would be a job that you think would be cool in the future that we wouldn't have today?
I kind of could see, I guess, somebody would have to test the virtual reality stuff to make sure it works correctly. I mean, I guess that's still like the same people that design it. They probably are the ones to test it. I'm trying to think. I mean, that's kind
of... But what if it was something weird that you wouldn't want to test? Like, you know how on Planet of the Apes, how they shoot his ass into space? Like, would you want to be that guy?
In Planet of the Apes, they shoot what into space?
The dude. You know, the dude's, like, doing space exploration. And he gets, like, lost in space. And then when he lands on freaking Planet of the Apes. Like, what if you're doing some space mission and you're that dude?
Oh,
like, that was...
I mean, I guess it depends. I don't know why, like, I think that'd be kind of silly if in the future we did, like, one-man pods.
Yeah.
I think we definitely need a team more like Star Trek to accurately do stuff like that, to actually, like, explore worlds.
I think we need a team, too.
I honestly think... our future is going to be, like, interstellar. Like, I honestly think we're going to have to jump ship, and we're going to kind of realize it last minute.
No, they're realizing it now. Why do you think all that...
Well, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I think if we were able to see, like, exactly what would happen in the future, like, we're feeling the effects, but not, like, to where it's super interfering with our daily lives.
Well, I mean...
to a huge degree, to where, like, we can't eat or something like that. Like, if we were shown... Yeah. When this is going to happen, exactly what happens, a lot of people would give up a lot of the bullshit and, like, fund money into, like, space exploration and stuff like that. But because it doesn't necessarily look or feel like an immediate threat, we're going to procrastinate on that.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's the human way. We just wait till the last minute.
Hey, if I, like, for whatever reason... become a millionaire, win the lottery, what have you. I'm donating to Elon Musk because he's doing that stuff right now.
I know.
Cheaper than the U.S. government's doing it. So, I mean...
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying, you know, with SpaceX and all that stuff. That's, like, the jobs of the future or the commerce of the future is going to be technology, space exploration, you know, all that stuff is going to be at the forefront of, like, industry. Because I feel like now they still don't understand technology, these people, like, that are in power, because they didn't grow up with it, and it's not something that they integrated into their lives, like, fully. Like, they understand it, but, I mean, you look at commercials from, like, 15 years ago, and they're like, what? You could get an email? Ha, ha, ha. Like, you know, it's not something that they grew up with, whereas us, we kind of grew up with that technology, so when we're older, it's not this foreign, weird, new thing that doesn't make any sense to us.
Yeah, and part of it, too, is I think we're used to the change in technology because there's that rule of diminishing returns where every time you, like, make a piece of technology, the newest and best edition of that comes so much sooner as technology keeps getting better and better.
Yeah.
Once we invented the computer, it didn't take us that long to make it smaller and smaller, and the smaller we were able to make it, the more advanced it became. So in the shorter amount of time. So I think we're going to be pretty used to technology changing all the time so that we're going to be able to adapt better than old people now when it's come to the technology.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. It's like now, you know, there's some people, some older people who still don't want to adapt to technology. And I try to tell people, you know, it's just like, and I'm going to give it some time, but I don't even think it's going to be that long. I would say in 10 years, 99% of things are going to be done online. Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
That's absolutely just going to be a,
which is kind of scary. Fact.
And I don't even think it's going to be 10 years. I'd say it's about 5.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, it's like my aunt. She still, like, mails her bills in and stuff. All that stuff is going to go. It's going to be like, don't you have a smartphone? Get you some e-bill. Like, boo, boo, boo. Like, no one has time for that.
Yeah.
And I feel bad because, you know, now, since people didn't grow up with that technology, they kind of get left behind or stuck. And then, you know, then all this stuff is confusing and they don't know what to do because they never took the time to get with technology. They think it's a fad, you know. It's kind of when watching this documentary about the light, you know, when electricity was first created. And people thought it was a fad. Like, people didn't think that this was, like, game changing, like, future technology. Like, you know, the people that were inventing it and in that, in the industry or creating it knew, like, this is where we're headed. But the average people, when they first were showing it to, like, you know, normal people, they were like, oh, this interesting little gizmo, like, not knowing that that was gonna, like, revolutionize everything, you know, having light basically 24/7 if we wanted it.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me, my grandpa is the owner of a construction firm, and so he's pretty successful to the point where, you know, people will ask him for money to invest in things. And he said that somebody approached him in the 80s for the cell phone to invest in that. And he's like, fuck that. The cell phones are, like, super duper big and you have a huge ass antenna you gotta unhook. Nobody's gonna buy that. And now he's like, God damn it, why didn't I invest in that? I'd be just a billionaire right now. You know, so it's definitely hard for us to realize sometimes, like, how big new technology. Like, I think the thing that's going to be the it thing that everybody's going to have, it's going to be all over the place, is 3D printers. Because that's about as close as we can get as the replicator from Star Trek.
Yeah, exactly.
Give me this.
Yeah. I want a 3D printer so bad. Oh, yeah. Like, you, I, oh, that is, like, on my fantasy list if I could buy one and have one.
Oh, yeah.
Or if I knew a school that had one. I think TWU's getting one.
Oh, yeah, I heard about it, actually.
And I was like, you're really going to get a 3D printer once I'm gone? Whatever.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so, like, if I was there still, I would be 3D printing all kinds of things.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I think the coolest part of the 3D printer is it's literally your imagination is the, you know, is the limit on that. You can make almost anything. There's so much stuff people have made. People have even like 3D printed food. It's like that's the future. And like
someone 3D printed makeup.
Yeah.
and I was like, I see my future business right here.
Yeah, exactly. Because once 3D printing gets cheap for the common person to afford it,
oh, it's going to be on.
So many things are going to go out of business.
Yeah.
So many things.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. Like, those are the things that you're going to have to, like, keep an eye on as you get older.
Yeah.
You know? It's like you're just going to have to kind of adapt with the times if you don't want to get left behind.
Yeah.
And I think that since we're kind of going along with that technology, the likelihood of that happening like it's happening now to older people, I feel like that won't be an issue.
Yeah.
So I feel like not only will you have all these young people doing things with the technology, you'll have these older people who are also doing things with technology. So the society as a whole will be more like I can't talk today. Like
definitely, hey, yeah, connected. It's almost like connected. Like
advanced.
It's almost kind of like Navi and Avatar. We're gonna all be kind of uploaded to that network through technology. Yeah. We're kind of basically have an advanced society version of the Navi and
Avatar. Would be cool. I mean, well, not to be the Navi. I mean, if I could be homegirl, I'd be fine with that, but...
You know what makes me wonder is I feel like once virtual... Because I think 3D printing and virtual reality is going to be the two biggest game-changing things. But what makes me wonder... is if virtual reality gets so good, very few people are going to want to deal with reality.
I think that's a problem. I mean, it's already kind of a mini problem. We talked about it in the technology podcast, but in Japan, and it's not even virtual reality. Mm-hmm. It's people, you know, they're into the technology and the kind of like, I don't know if it's anime characters or whatever. It's like these virtual... technology, like girls, and the people aren't dating each other anymore. They're not like having babies and having relationships.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're dating some, you know, I don't know what it. What do you call it? E girlfriend? I have no idea.
Yeah, they actually have games, like on the 3D on the Nintendo DS where you date the person. Like they have these girls and you give them basically the traits that you want. And all that stuff. And some dude went as far as to marrying his girl from the game. And that just kind of shows why they're having such a population decline. Whereas there's so many old people there. And so not as many.
And not that many young people.
But that's
another reason.
That's the problem with their technology like advancement. Mm-hmm. Is that you just, whatever need you get. Is filled like that, and it's like, well, why do I have to deal with people? I have to, you know, go around them. I have to convince people, whatever. Yeah. When you get technology, then it's just a whatever I want, click of a finger. Don't have to put effort into it.
Yeah, but I think that's a problem to me with the society with technology. Is like the rise of technology, because with technology, you get everything you said instantaneously.
Yeah,
and I feel like that's kind of a problem when people are just dealing with other people.
Mm-hmm.
They want everything instantaneously and they don't want to put any work into anything. And it's like, if I have to put any effort into this relationship, I'm gone, you know, because I could go online, you know, and get whatever I want instantly. So why do I have to put in work to know you or talk to you or get what I want from you when I can go to the next person and get everything I want and don't have to do all that? And I think that that's kind of a shame actually, because you can miss out on like meeting some cool people or knowing some cool people or meeting a person that you're supposed to meet, but because you don't know how to take the time and, you know, actually get to know that person, you're just like, well, whatever, I don't have time for that shit, you know? Yeah. So that's kind of bad. But then also in Japan, that's why they're kind of building up their robotics technology, because they don't have the population. And also, they don't really like integrating other people into their culture, like their society. Like, they're very contained.
Yeah.
It's not like here, where it's like, if there's not enough people, we'll just get people from somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, like, they don't really want anybody from anywhere else too much. So, it's just kind of like, instead of kind of being more outwardly open, they're kind of turning inward and doing their own thing. And that's why their robotics programs are kind of like, that's like their, a really big industry for them there.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I've definitely heard accounts saying that too, where pretty much all the pretty much technology is filling the gap, but at the same time at the cost of the people. And you know, I've even it's even to a level of like, there's a vending machine even in like super rural back of the woods places. You just see a vending machine on the side of the road, and it's not a big deal there because there isn't that much of a crime rate, where if you did that here, oh, like 5 seconds, someone would knock that shit down and steal everything in it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it, part of it is definitely a cultural thing too, but yeah.
Well, well, that's because here everyone is kind of like, if it's gonna, in America, I feel like it's made to feel like if you don't have this X thing, then you're not shit. So that's why, you know, it's people punching people in the head instead. Like, oh, speaking of people punching people in the head, Force Friday was last week, and there were people, you know, scalping all the Star Wars toys.
Oh.
And selling, like, the freaking little BB-8 droid. Cute, but anyway, so I want one, but I'm not gonna pay $200 for one.
Yeah, fuck that.
You know, and there's like people scalping them, and then, you know, everyone's trying to kill each other to get this thing, and it's just kind of like, really? It's like, I mean, me not having that, I feel, and then too, it's kind of like here, like I was saying, if you don't have X thing, then that means you're not shit, or you're not as dedicated as these people over here. It's like, I love Star Wars just as much as anybody, but I don't need to get trampled by 50 people in the middle of the night for a toy. Like, I don't need that in my life.
Yeah.
I just don't. So, I mean, does that make me less of a fan? I don't seem to think so, but, you know, what do I know?
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's definitely way more about how Star Wars makes you feel than the, like, the material objects and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely what, you know, makes people cling to it way more than the merchandise.
I mean, that'd be cool to have one, but I, like I said, it doesn't make or break or define anything to me. But it has a lot of, like, with a lot of things. I remember, you know, people would be like, oh, well, if you don't have a phone like this, or if you don't have this, then that means, you know, it's like, no, it doesn't. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we definitely live in a pretty materialistic society. And that's the sad part, is that, like, we're never happy because of it. It's always the next best thing.
Oh, my goodness.
You get a new car, you get a new truck, you're like, this is amazing. Then the next year's model comes around, you're like, this is a fucking piece of shit. I need to get a new car, truck. I need to, you know, get a new phone. And it's like, it's like we do this to ourselves in this perpetual, like, that thing's ever good enough
but type they of mentality. Were, there was an article, I'll have to put a link. I'll put a link to it, actually, in wherever I post this video. I'll put a link to that article, and I'll send you the link. Yeah. But there was an article about Gen Y, you know, millennials, and how we're not happy.
Yeah.
Because our expectations of things are here, and our reality is here, and we don't know how to reconcile those things.
Yeah.
And then two, it's kind of like, also it has to do with like social media, and you see, you know, like when you go on Facebook, everyone's posting like their most amazing things ever, you know, like, oh my gosh, I just got married, oh my gosh, I just had a baby. You know, it's not like, oh my gosh, I just had to, you know, strip to pay my rent. You know, it's never that. It's never that. It's always, you know, good stuff. Or if people are going through stuff, they just don't say anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, I mean, I know I don't put my business on Facebook. That's just because I feel like it's not anyone's business. But I know, but then some people I know put everything on Facebook. But they were saying because of Facebook, and since you can kind of see what everyone else is doing, whether you're doing it consciously or subconsciously, it's kind of like, okay, what do they have that I don't have?
Yeah.
And it's feeding all these feelings of, like, inferiority and all these other things, which is why we're perpetually in chase of... Because even when we get what we want, we don't even know what to do with it. We're still like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely know. Because I think sometimes we'll think of somebody and be like, yes, if I had the same talents as this person, then I'd be set. I'd be completely happy with life. But if you talk to that person, there's like, no, I'm not completely happy. There's still things I want to achieve. You know, the best example of this is, you know, Donald Glover or Childish Gambino. He, you know, the rapper Childish Gambino and the actor, comedian, writer, Donald Glover. He put, I forget what website, I think it was like Tumblr or something like that. But either way, he took a picture of his thoughts and put it on social media, and a lot of it was doubts about himself. Like, I don't think I'm scared that I'm not going to be good enough. I'm scared that, you know, I'm not going to get to achieve what I want to achieve. I'm scared of failure. I'm scared of this and that. And it's like, that's coming from this guy. This guy that, if acting doesn't work out, I guess he'll just do stand-up comedy or writing for TV shows or rapping. Oh, I guess if stand-up doesn't work out, he still has writing for TV shows and, you know, and rapping and all that stuff. And it's just like, he's made it in show business to the point where if he fails at one thing, he's good at so many others that he can just fall back on those.
It'll be okay.
And he is not, you know, he still is like, I can be better. I need to be better, you know? And it's like, wow, that our perception of success is so different. Like, even Joan Rivers, she was in her 90s when she was in her 90s, right? Early 90s? I don't even
remember. No, I don't think she was
It was 80s. You're right. It was 80s. Either way, she did an interview and was like, you know, are you content with the things you've done? And it's like, well, you know, basically her response was like, I'm proud of it, but I want to do more. I want to keep improving.
Yeah.
It's like the mentality of successful people is that, gosh, I'm so fucking talented and great. I'm happy. It's no, I need to keep doing better. I need to keep striving. I need to keep growing.
Yeah. That's how I am. Like, I feel that sometimes, and I'm scared of that because I feel like I'm always going to be chasing that dragon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to speak. Cause I always feel like there's always something else I can be doing, something else I can be learning. So I'm always in the chase.
Yeah.
And I don't know, even if I got what I want, I feel like I will find something new to want.
Yeah.
And that is, like, definitely a I wouldn't say it's a problem, but it's definitely a trait that our generation has that other generations probably don't really have. Because, like, you know, like, baby boomers, once they got their career job and they had their kids and they were settled and they were set, they didn't even think about, like, what are my dreams and aspirations? Like, I didn't even think like that. It was like, okay, I have a job, go to work, come home, you know, take a drink, tell the kids to shut up, go to bed. Like, you know, that's the routine. And they didn't even think, you know, their brain didn't even process anything besides that because that was life as they knew it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
We're slowly starting to realize that it's not just one career path and that's it. You can't get out of it. I mean, there's this guy that I watch on. He's not so much a YouTuber now. He's a Minecraft. I guess he owns a Minecraft server. But basically, he started out as an accountant. Hated that. Went to school for computer science. Learned code and got a job at Cisco. And he started doing YouTube, quit his job at Cisco and did YouTube full time. Then you know, still, he still does YouTube stuff, but now does a Minecraft server, you know, and the dude is like in his late 40s. So, I mean, it's one of those, like, we're getting into a time where if you have diverse skills and you want to work at them, it isn't just one career and that's it. You really do have more options than you think you do. You just got to work at them, really.
And another trait that I've noticed, you know, with our generation that's going to be interesting moving forward versus, like, previous generations, is that a lot of people in our generation are going into business for themselves. They're kind of breaking the business model, you know, with like YouTube and all these other things and Instagram. Like, there's people who are just famous just simply off of Instagram or simply off of YouTube or simply off of Facebook. And Vine or whatever. And so it's just kind of like everyone's realizing that they can market whatever skill set, whatever they have, they can kind of bypass that middleman and just either sell directly to like the consumers, which is like what YouTube does to me. Or they can do something like that, basically like that dude that created Minecraft. You know, it's like people nowadays are just kind of bypassing that whole
And what
corporate world, and just kind of direct, like, if I want to build something, I'm going to build and sell it. If I want to do something, I think that's how the guy that created Oculus Rift ended up doing that, because he was looking for something like that and no one had it. Yeah. So he's like, well, I'm just going to make my own.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that's how a lot of these things are getting started.
Yeah.
Where it's just kind of like people are seeing something they want to do, and either they're taking a formula and improving on it or running with it, or they're just coming up with their own things. So it's kind of like Twitch. Like, Twitch is basically like kind of rips off the Let's Play YouTubers in a way. But someone probably just said, hey, what if we created a website where it was just all Let's Play? Boom. You know, so I feel like that's just going to be, it's just going to be little inventions like that. That are gonna be big things moving forward.
I mean, with YouTube, what's interesting about it is it's definitely more the corporations catering to the people, because I mean, even us doing this right now, the only other way we can basically have this conversation and like send it to where multiple people can hear it is through radio. But you know, we would have to censor this, you know, we would get slapped with even this minor conversation that we've had. We would get slapped with a few FCC fines, you know, with YouTube. You don't have to fucking worry about that. It doesn't matter. Sure, YouTube is censored to a certain degree, no copyright or nudity. But I mean, other than that, it's so much more freeing than if we had to work at a radio station and do this.
So. Yeah, I don't know how that would be hard.
Yeah, there are definitely people that get used to it.
I mean, I get used to it eventually, because, I mean, it's not like I do that
at exactly.
a regular job. It's not like I'm dropping F-bombs 24/7. But as far as, like, when I'm doing this, it's just kind of off the cuff. Yeah. So kind of like if something flies out, it's like, oh, well, shit. Like, so you don't really have to worry about it. But also, too, I think another thing that's interesting about now, like I said, moving forward versus then, I mean, if there was a situation going on, you know, back then, you'd have to, like, read it in the newspaper and get it that way. And now everyone gets everything instantaneously. So I think we're going to be way more connected to what's going on. So that's why I said, I feel like society is just going to be more connected. And, like, because to me, there's an obvious disconnect between this generation and the previous one. There is, like, a communication barrier. And I feel like that barrier won't be there when we're older, because we will understand.
Yeah.
You know, like, we'll be able to communicate better. because we're in that system rather than looking at it from an outsider perspective. So I feel like a lot of things when it comes to like decision making or like policy making or just things in general, there won't be a big disconnect between like youth culture and older culture. It really won't be that much of a divide.
Yeah, I could see that. And
so that's what I think
what's kind of helping with that is the fact that we're living older, you know, the fact that our lifespans are increasing. So it's not as big of a deal. You're more connected for longer. And I think that helps with that.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, he said that'd be pretty cool too. Cause I understand there's some old people that use the internet as a creative outlet, like YouTube, but there's going to be a shit ton in the future. Absolute fuck ton of old people.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, if I'm still... I don't know if I hope I'm still doing YouTube in 20 years or not. I mean, I hope that if I'm doing YouTube in 20 years, I have more subscribers.
All I can say is I hope, you know, in the future, YouTube is not better, or at least there's something that's even better than YouTube, which that'd be interesting. I'd be really interested to see what dethrones YouTube. Because for all we know, it might be like a MySpace, Facebook kind of thing, or something might just come in and absolutely demolish YouTube, which that'd be really interesting to see.
Yeah. But it would have to be, I don't know what it could be, because I think the only thing that's killing YouTube right now, the internet is the Wild West right now. It's really unregulated in a lot of ways. It's regulated, but there's way more freedom that you get, like you were saying, with like just censorship and things you can get away with on the internet that you necessarily can't get away with like on radio or television or movies. And, you know, it's like these corporations are coming in and they are trying to get with the internet because they haven't found a way to fully make money off of it yet. Because, like, YouTube really doesn't make money. They kind of lose money all the time, actually. That's why they're always trying to, like, have ads and sponsors and stuff, because YouTube really doesn't make that much money for Google. Because when you think about, like, every crappy video uploaded all the time, every day.
Yeah.
You know how many servers that is? And
for what it's been explained to me, it's not only the ads they put up, like, on the homepage to get money for it, but also they get a cut of the actual people like Jenna Marbles and stuff like that out of their revenue. So, I mean, that would be interesting, though, to see the numbers, see how much revenue they actually get. Plus, you know, like, considering the cost of the maintenance of the site.
Considering the maintenance cost, I'm pretty sure they're not recouping that is that beefy. Money. Because for every Jenna Marbles or PewDiePie, there is a million upload one video for class or one random video for this or one random video for that. And, you know, that's not generating any kind of money or revenue for them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I never thought of it like that. So that might be a good point in that the company or whatever, the website that dethrones YouTube might be a more profitable one, which is pretty likely. I'm sure there might be somebody that figures out a better way to where both.
Well, the way I see it going is like with Vimeo. You know how they have.
Oh, I didn't know you had to pay for content. Vimeo.
It's like a paywall. No, not all the time, because I have a Vimeo, but you can put your videos behind paywalls, and I think that's where it's gonna go. So, like, I know a lot of the people who, like, do makeup and, like, a couple of other people I know, they have sites like that. They'll have a site, like, they build their following on YouTube, and then they switch over to, like, their own website or Vimeo or whatever, and since they already have a built-in following, you know, they just post a little video on YouTube like, yeah, you come over here and you can watch this video for $3.99, you know, or whatever. And so I feel like that's going to be the only way YouTube's going to make money is if they put the video behind a paywall. And if you really want to see that, you know, new Jenna Marbles, you're gonna have to like subscribe to her channel, like Netflix kind of basically.
Yeah, it definitely would. That makes me wonder exactly like how does Facebook generate so much money? Like, I get they do have ads and stuff that they're paid for.
Yeah, Facebook makes their money off of ads better because a lot of people that are on Facebook, the demographic is different than on YouTube. Because on Facebook, you know, now there's like moms and grandmoms and stuff like that on Facebook. You know, and that traditional method of advertising works on that age group. That advertising doesn't necessarily work on people your age and my age, because as soon as I see an ad, I'm not interested. The way I feel like they market to people our age now, it's kind of like, you see those things that everyone's riding with the two wheels?
I think I have an idea.
It's like a Segway without that stupid stick thing in the middle.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, that's, I don't know the name of it, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
That thing, like, I've seen that thing in a bunch of, like, YouTubers' videos and Instagrammers' videos. And so I feel like that's how they're marketing now. It's like, not necessarily like, here, buy this. It's like, oh, so-and-so is using that. What's that? That's cool. Oh, that looks fun. I need to get one of those. And it's done without basically, I mean, it's like you're being marketed to without knowing you're being marketed to.
Oh, no, it's fine. We're kind of having connection issues, which is why it's kind of doing that. Because on my end, you're kind of stuttering. But yeah, I was just gonna say that YouTube has definitely been pretty effective when it comes to like advertising things without even having to get paid. Like, pretty much one of the people that made Minecraft so popular was C Nanners, and he was a Call of Duty player before then. He just randomly started playing Minecraft, and everybody lost their shit over it. And so, I mean, YouTube is becoming a super incredible effective method to advertise Nintendo, because I do that because Nintendo doesn't always like to pay people like they should for free advertisement. But yeah,
you know, back then, like, say if you bought an album, it was your album. You know, or if you bought something, I don't know. Like, say if you bought, like,
yeah, that's true,
a service online, you bought the service. Now you don't buy anything. Everything's rented to you. You don't really own anything now because the technology is like, it's basically like, it's a renter's market. So they're just renting everything to you. Like, you don't own anything. Yeah. And I don't like it. I mean, I understand it's smart business. But I feel like it's kind of shady as hell, because it's like, you're making more, charging me $9.99 a month forever, rather than $800 I'm dropping down, and that's it.
Yeah.
I've even noticed that on the cell phones, like, you know, like the iPhones and stuff. Like, before, you could just buy them cash. Now you can't. Or, like, you could get them $1.99, you know, with the 2-year activation. Like, now they charge you per month for the phone.
Yeah.
You don't own the phone. You never own the phone. You rent the phone for what is it, like $20 a month or whatever?
Yeah, pretty much.
And then by the time the new one comes out, they know you're going to want that one. So you're just going to jump over to that one, and then you're going to be paying $20 a month for that one. So you never own, everything's a lease.
Yeah.
Everything's leased to you. You don't own anything.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
Which is interesting.
It's definitely kind of like the whole mortgage and house model placed on everything before, pretty much. I mean, technically you could pay off a mortgage, but still, like, 30 years, that's such a fuck long time.
But even if you pay it off, it's not like once you pay it off, because like in other countries, once you pay off your land, it's yours. They're not paying, you're not paying taxes.
Yeah.
You know, here, I could pay off my mortgage for 30 years and be clean. I miss my property taxes. They're going to come seize my house.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't really ever own anything, which is kind of a bummer. And even the things you do own, they're worthless, just like you were saying before about cars and trucks and stuff.
Yeah.
As soon as you drive a car off the lot, the car is basically not even worth it anymore. Yeah. Like, the car drops in value, like, so much. I forgot what the actual percentage is, but the car just drops in value. Like, as soon as you hit the streets, that car's not even worth what you paid for it.
Yeah.
And that's, like, when I found that out, that was just, like, a mind-blowing thing. I'm like, whoa, that's crazy. So, I don't even know. It's kind of interesting, though. It's like, what do you do in a society where nobody owns anything?
Yeah.
It's weird.
So, yeah, I could definitely see what you mean. It's just like, because the problem with that, too, is when you're, like you said, renting things, you're kind of at their mercy. They could technically take it away, and you don't really have ownership rights to it.
Yep. Yeah, and that's kind of a, I don't know, scary thing. Because, like, you never really own anything. So it's kind of like you're in this constant fear of this person could take this away at any time. Yeah. So I don't know. It's just not, I guess that's the downside to technology. The bad thing about what's going to be, you know, kind of worrisome when you're older is that you're never really going to own anything. You're always going to be renting things. You're never going to be an owner. So, that's definitely weird.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's times are definitely changing, and it'll be interesting to see if that model still holds up in the future, which it most likely will. It seems to be way, way more profitable, even though it seems less money you're handing at a given time. In the long run, it definitely gives companies more money. All right. Suckers. That concludes this edition. And thanks for listening. And I hope you can use this to know how you want to go about being an old fuck in the future. You can start planning now how you want to be old.
Get those cod skills up.
Yeah, exactly.
Get those kids.
Exactly. don't play with fire. Good night, kids.